I'd like to tell about my younger days as a boy when I was about 9 years old. There was a man by the name of Esch, E-S-H, A-S-C-H, who came to my dad and asked if I could drive a team of horses for him as they were haying. And that was the first time I ever had horses or anything at all to drive, as I didn't know anything about horses. So this hired man, he was Indian, and he used to kid me because my voice was very squeaky at that time, and I'd holler, whoa, instead of hollering, whoa, I'd holler real squeaky. And so they kept kidding me, but the horses would mind, they'd stop. And do you know, that was my first time I ever worked for any wages. And I did get 50 cents a day in my board. Now, I used to get up about 5 o'clock in the morning, go out in the pasture, get the cows, then this hired man and Mr. Ash would milk them. Then we'd eat our breakfast after. Well, it'd be too early to go in the hay field because they didn't want to start too early. It was a dew on. So they used to keep me in the field hoeing corn. And in this corn hoeing, this man had some small pigs that were probably about 6 weeks old, and they used to get out all the time, and I'd have to catch them. Mr. Ash would take and put them back in the pen. So one day I caught the one, and do you know what I had for supper that evening? I had a roast pig, and this was put up by real German people, and it was really something to eat. I'll never forget that. It's the only roast pig I ever had in my life, and I really enjoyed it. But these people, after they'd take us to town on Saturdays, after working a whole week, I took us to town, and this man paid me. Of course, at this time, money wasn't paper money like we have today. It was silver. So I was paid with $3 silver. You can imagine a 9-year-old boy going to town with $3 silver weighting him down on one side of his pants. I got the biggest enjoyment out of it because when I went uptown, the first place I hit for was the ice cream parlor, then the show. And I did have the money to go with, take these in, which I enjoyed very much. Well, then when I'd go back to, I went back to next week, and the same thing happened. We worked all week long, and he paid me with silver the same. And I did enjoy my time. I was out there. I was out there a little better than 2 weeks and a half, helping this man put up hay as they stacked it in the field. But my voice didn't get any stronger for those horses, but those horses knew what to do without me telling them, I believe. Because all I had to do was follow them, hang on to the line so they wouldn't trip. And this way, why, he was very thankful that he had somebody to handle the horses for him. And I was very thankful to have what little money I earned. Now, that was one of my experiences when I was about 9 years old. Then, as I grew older, and I'd say I was probably about 11 years old, 10, 11 years old, we used to have a city delivery there in Mount Pleasant. And on this city delivery, we delivered all over town. They had four different wagons that went in four different sections of the town. So on this, I would ride with the one man, and I'd catch him after school. Well, I was making big money. I made 5 cents a night for 5 nights after school, probably about 2 hours and a half. Then on Saturdays, I worked all day. I got a quarter. Well, that was big money for me. I did have money to go to the shows with. That was another little project I had. Then, after the next year, I took started driving cows. Now, people years ago could have cows in town. And I did have as high as 11 cows. And do you know, I sold some of 10 cents per head from each person. I drove these cows to pasture. I had to come to this person's house, start the cows out, drive them to the pasture, lock them in, then at 5 o'clock in the evening, go down and get the cows again, take them back to their owners. Well, then the next morning I have to do the same thing, go pick them up, take them back to the pasture again. But the funny part about this whole deal was that the river ran through this pasture where these cattle was. And I didn't, after I'd take them down there about 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning, I didn't have to wait too long because I had a lot of buddies. And we had a great swimming pool down there in the river. And we would spend almost all the rest of the day at this swimming hole. Then I'd have to take my cows home. Regardless of lunch, we never ate. We didn't care about eating. We were just playing in the water. And that was a great sport of ours. And these cows, I'd take them back every night. Well, that happened for that 1 year. Then the next year I didn't take any cows because I didn't want that job. I started working with these deliveries, on these city deliveries. And I began to know where all the people lived in town. And that was wonderful. Because as I grew older and I went to school, why, I did graduate when I was 13 years old, out of the 8th grade. And when I went to high school, I went there 2 years. But in the meantime, my mother passed away in 1914. So really I was without a mother, and we did have a hired lady, and that was swell. But my father, he met another woman and he married her, and things weren't quite so sweet then. So I had my troubles. After a couple years of being in high school and me coming home for dinner, I might have a cold cup of tea, and that'd be about all, a piece of bread and butter, go back to school. So I finally decided to quit. I quit school. And I started working, delivering groceries in town. And do you know I had a big salary coming? No, I didn't deliver groceries. I'm making a mistake here. I delivered meat. I worked for a meat market. And I had the whole sum of $6 a week for my pay. I was getting a dollar a day. Of course, the wages were low. And I had one little pony I used to drive to deliver meat. And I can remember the one winter. That must have been the winter of 1917, when we had so much snow that there was no deliveries going. I was the only one out with meat, delivering meat for these people that ordered it. And these people, I would come in the house blowing and blizzardly out, and that poor horse I had a hard time making my run that time. I remember one time, well, one place on the south end of town where I was stuck, the horse could not go, and I got behind and pushed the cutter, there's a little cutter with a box on it, I pushed the cutter and that in turn gave the horse a chance to move. We finally did get through that snowdrift, and I was thankful for that, for I believe I'd have been stuck, just a horse. But there was a horse was small. He wasn't a big full-grown horse. It was a full-grown horse, but I mean he was a small pony. And I can remember that. Well, then the meat market closed up. After it closed up, the boys wasn't in the meat business, so I got a job delivering groceries on their city delivery. And I did know everybody, so I worked with the boss. And any time any of his men would be off, well, I took that wagon and I run that route because I knew the whole town. Because at that time I knew everybody who lived upstairs and downstairs in a house. And I wished I could remember all these people's name. I do remember a few of them, but it would be hard to remember all of them. And I really enjoyed working for him for that time. Then it was getting around about 1917 when the work was starting to boom up for anyone who could work. And while I was in a pool room sitting there, we were a bunch of us young boys there. We was playing pool, and in come a man, and he was from Edmore, Michigan. He had a car, and he asked us if we wanted to work. We asked him what doing. He says, working in a canning factory. So we all took the job, went back with him. Of course, they had a boarding house, and your room was there, your room and board. It was $1 a day for room and board. And we were getting 30 cents an hour at this canning factory. So when we started in, I was working, pitching beans into an elevator so as to thrash lima beans, so they had lima beans. Well, after about a week of this, they needed somebody for what they call strapping cans. That was a kind of a hot job, because these cans had just come out of the cooker, and you had gloves, and what they do is, what they call strapping cans, was placing the cans in containers, boxes, so they could seal them up and ship them. That's what they call strapping cans, was picking them up and putting them in there. Of course, they were hot. Well, I was on this for probably a couple, 3 weeks. Then they wanted somebody to cut corn. Well, these corn cutters, the corn is already husked, and it comes up there as sweet corn. And you put it in this little trough, and it goes through knives, and it cuts the kernels off the cob. Well, that was a swell job. But on this job, it was 18 or 20 hours a day. So we stayed here for, I'd say we were probably there about 7 weeks altogether, all told. Then we quit, and the whole bunch of us come back to Mount Pleasant. Well, while in Mount Pleasant again, sitting at the pool room, playing pool now and then, a man come in from Alma, Michigan, and it was getting fall, and he needed help for the sugar factory, the Michigan Sugar Company. So he would guarantee our fare to Alma and see that we got a boarding house. So we took off. It was three of us. And we all went to the sugar factory. First job I had there was sitting on a bench, and I was supposed to pick out stones, coal, or anything out of the beach when they come over a roller. It was a very tiresome, tedious job. Your eyes get sore looking at them beach coming over at you all the time. So the boss told me one time, he says, "Say," he says, "you're leaving some stones go through there." He come down and told me, and boy, after a while he come down again, and he told me. I said, "Oh," I thought, "here I go, I'm fired." But no, the man just come down and he transferred me, and he put me in as a sample boy. And I traveled floors through the main building, and then I had to go outside to what they call a lime kiln and get lime samples, and then they'd know how much lime to put in their beet juice. And then I got samplings from all different stations in the plant, and I'd bring them back into the laboratory, and that's where these technicians would sample it. Then I'd have to mark up on a board what the numbers were on the lime and different things, and that way they knew how much their samplings they had to add to their beet juice in order to have it so that it would come out right. Well, I worked here on this job until, I think it was in November, and then there was an ad come in the paper, and we went down to see this man. He was working for the Detroit Shipbuilding Company, and they needed help. Well, I was getting 35 cents an hour at the sugar factory and 12 hours a day, no overtime. This man come in, and he says to me, he says, why, he says, we pay 55 cents an hour, 10 hours a day, and you get 1 hour overtime, 11 hours a day pay, 55 cents an hour. Well, that was a lot different than 35. So, Detroit I go, and here I am, not quite 17. Well, I guess I am 17. I wasn't 18. And at this time, they did not ask for a birth certificate or anything when you hired out anywhere. All they wanted to know, they'd ask you how old you was, I'd tell them I was 17 going on 18. Go ahead, go to work. They never stopped. So that's how I got in the shipbuilding business. And here I was passing rivets, and they were pretty hot. Boy, I missed a few on the start. I got some spots on my jacket that almost burnt through on me. And I hung to this job for the winter. Then, in the spring, I had an aunt living in Detroit, so I went over to visit with her, and then while there, I went uptown again to Detroit, and I hired out with a fellow that paid every day. Say, that was something. That, you don't strike them job, because at that time, these companies paid usually on the 5th and the 20th of the month, twice a month, and this man paid every day, and I was getting pretty good wages from him. I think I was getting 75 cents an hour. And I went to work for him out in Ecorse at the Shell Oil Company. It was just too bad that job didn't last. I liked that job because it was pay every night. I never was broke. Then after getting through with there, I went to a lumber company. And I was taken away from a saw. Man pushed the board in, and then they cut it in two, rip it in two, and I took it away from the saw, put it on a car buggy, and that was a pretty good job. So one day while I was there, the truck driver didn't have a helper, and this man didn't want to send the old men out to help this man, so I was young, and they sent me out to go with him. Well, I had a pretty good job as a truck helper. We'd take one big semi load of lumber out, we'd be gone all day. And this fella knew where to pick up pickled pig's feet. And that's what I just did enjoy. We'd have pickled pig for lunch every morning. And we'd stop by this one place where they sold homebrew, near beer. And we would always get our pickled pig, then we'd go for the rest of the day. We'd probably have on maybe five, six orders on our truck. And when we'd get back, be quitting time. That, I enjoyed that job. That was really something. Then, from there, I was in a restaurant. I started washing dishes for what we used to call pearl diving. Well, in this pearl diving job, I learned to cook. And so I got to be kind of a short order cook. And that was pretty nice. I really had a lot of fun doing a lot of cooking. So I didn't hang to this too much, and we did get back to where I was visiting my aunt again, and I went uptown, and I used to hang around these boat docks. And if I could get a job, maybe coal passing, I'd take a boat, make a couple of runs, and then quit. Of course, they didn't care. They didn't expect you to stay on the job there because it was pretty hot in the fire room. So while there, I met a fireman. He told me, he says, why don't you go over to the Hodges building in Detroit? I think it was the fourth floor, 409 or 4010, Hodges building, and see dredge workers. Well, I didn't understand dredging, But I soon learned, because when I got there, I did get a job. And the man that they sent me to, I opened my letter to see what it said. And in this letter of recommendation, it told this captain of the dredge that this was the last, my brother and I both got jobs. And he said, this is the last two men I am sending you. Because he was pretty rough customer, pretty tough guy. So I boarded this dredge. My brother, he was supposed to go to work, and he took off. I don't know what happened to him. I didn't see him all that summer. So I didn't know where he went. Of course, the old cap had asked me where he was. He was going to do the firing, and I was a deckhand. Well, the amazing part of my whole career with this company, now I worked for this company quite a while. Of course, this is seasonal work. It isn't an everyday job. All winter long, because when it freezes over, you can't work in the lakes. So this man, after I finally got acquainted with him, I was getting every Sunday overtime. If they needed anybody anywhere, any man had quit along the line, I had a job every time for overtime. And at this job, I was getting $144 a month. But they took out $1 a day for board and room. And that wasn't nothing. It was really something that you could eat, but we did eat, because on the board of these dredges, you had the best of fit for a king to eat. You didn't have no everyday meal like anything that's light, because this man always, I remember we used to have corned beef, roast beef, roast pork, and anything, any fruit that was in season, we always had that. So I was really, I put on weight, and I enjoyed working for this captain. He didn't seem to bother me too much. Only one day I did happen to do something wrong. I throwed a line, that's what they call your hawser, what you tie your scows up with, a line. So I throwed the line in the wrong place. I tied it in the wrong place. And he started cussing and swearing down the road, and he started calling me names in back of me. And of course, myself, I weighed about 175 pounds, and I didn't take nothing from anyone. So I walked right back to the back end of the dredge, and I grabbed this man by the shoulder, and I whirled him around, and, "Who are you talking to?" I said. "You talking to me? You're talking to the wrong guy." I was just about ready to let him have it. And this man kind of apologized to me in a way that afterwards, I couldn't ask for a better man to work for. This man really used me like he should use his own son. He really was a man that I think I straightened him up to my way of thinking, and I got all the overtime there ever could be had. Every Sunday, I never got a chance hardly to go to a ball game in Detroit. So the way this man worked and I worked, well, I stayed with him for 3 summers, and it was really something to work for this man. But if it hadn't been for his engineer, I don't believe I would have quit then. But we got into a rumpus, so I quit. And then I started working for the M. Sullivan Dredging Company. And I did work. This is going to be very interesting to anyone who knows of the Dodge Estate in Grosse Pointe in Detroit. Because when I worked for the M. Sullivan Dredging Company, we dredged a channel. Of course, there was a channel there, but we had to clean it out and make it a little deeper. And we dredged this channel out from the main channel in Lake St. Clair right to Horace E. Dodge's back door. And the yacht that they had was the Delphine. And this Delphine, instead of, I'm a nosy guy, I had to go aboard this Delphine and see what it was on there. I got in there, and the big plush carpet that was in the salon, boy, me with old work shoes on, I walked in there and enjoyed this visit with that there boat. Then I started to look around, and I saw a nice big piano in there. Boy, I said, that's living it up. So I went down from there to what they call the galley. Well, the galley is the kitchen. And I never in my life saw a spickier or spanner kitchen. It was made of white maple. All these tables were white maple. And when they were scoured, they were really white. They were just as white as snow. And that's the way that that galley was. Well, I wasn't satisfied, so I had to go around the deck. This boat, I judge, must have been about pretty close to 135, 40 feet long. And I went around the deck, and what do you think I saw for lifeboats? All speedboats. Speedboats for lifeboats. And now this Dodge was very wealthy, and I often wondered. It never dawned on me before, because I was working nights, and we worked 12 hours. And at that time, I was drawing $216 a month on my board. That was a lot of money. Ford was paying 75 cents an hour, or an equivalent of $144 a month. Well, I was drawing $216 a month on my board. And what I mean, I had good board. And these Dodges, I often wondered why we'd be out in the lake, we'd go to the dump and dump our load, and then we'd come back. And as we come back, I'd always see lights in the house, not realize that they had watchmen in there, because I had to pass a watchman every day at the gate, the iron gates, before I could come in the plant. And one thing I did enjoy while I was there too, as I left this watchman at the gate, there was a long garage. Oh, I'd say it probably held about 8 to 10 cars. And I could walk along and stand on my tiptoes. There was some glasses up above the door, and I could peek in, and Dodge had all his old cars stuck in there. And that was amazing to see all those old cars. And I enjoyed that while I was there. Well, then, before we got too far along in there, they were building the library, the Dodge Library, while I was there. And that was really a mammoth library. I've had some wonderful experiences with these here, on these dredges. Then I stayed until they wound up their job. And after they wound it up, my dredge president says to me, he says, "Say," he says, "did they pay you for room rent?" "No," I said, "I just got my meals out there." So he got on the phone and he called Mr. Sullivan up, told him he was sending Ned Fisher over, and he wanted him to pay me, I think it was $4 a week for room rent. So in all, my board out there was only $3 a week. And I did collect around 70-some dollars from him off that job just for my board, my room rent. Well, I'll have to tell you now that I went from here back to Alpena. And while from there, from Alpena, I went back to Toledo. Then, after that, I quit dredging, and I went back to Mount Pleasant. And while this is in the Depression years now, just getting back into Depression years, and while there, I got a letter from the Nebraska Indian baseball team. They needed a second baseman. So they sent me my fare, and I met the team at Paulding, Ohio, and we did our spring training, and we went east from there. And we hit Columbus, Ohio, Charleston, West Virginia, Baltimore, Maryland, Boston, and all these Clarksville, Tennessee, Clarksburg, Virginia, Maryland. And we was all over in the East Coast. We played all Middle Atlantic League clubs. I enjoyed this travel.